Welcome back to the show. We're on episode 126, and I actually have a special guest on today. Her name is Sarah Lingle, and she is a doula and specifically a bereavement doula. You may know her on Instagram as the PAL doula, P-A-L, meaning pregnancy after loss doula. And she's joining us today to celebrate and bring awareness to March, which is Pregnancy After Loss Month. And this is going to be a great episode to listen to for any moms who have had a loss previously, or even just trauma in previous births, because she really comes at supporting moms through a trauma-informed lens. And she's going to leave you with some tips to help you feel more in control and empowered for your birth.
March is Pregnancy After Loss Awareness Month. And I didn't know that that was even a thing until I was in the lost mom space. I don't think most people do know. But it's a month just full of hope and joy, because we get to talk about the culmination of loss and grief and pregnancy after loss and having a rainbow baby. And I think it's really sweet. So a lot of what I do as a doula is pregnancy after loss. And so March is my month, the month of pregnancy after loss.
So. I love that. And I love that it's pregnancy after loss. Like that's where that all yeah. that hope and that, you know, that feels, because like in your yeah. story, you were trying to conceive for 2 months. And you're like, am I ever going to get that 2 months? Sorry, 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Like,
am I ever going to get that pregnancy after my yeah. loss? You know? So, oh, I love that.
I mean, pregnancy after loss is hard and it's full of anxiety, but it also has so much hope and so much joy. And it's probably the most emotional time of my life,
but imagine,
a really yeah. sweet time too.
This is not your average birth podcast because you are not the average mom. Welcome to Unapologetically Unmedicated. I'm your host, Fierce Lizzie, and I am unapologetic when it comes to normal, physiologic, unmedicated birth. I want you to have your best birth because I know that an empowered birth leads to an empowered motherhood. If you want to be the boss of your birth and do birth your way, it's time to get informed, educated, and empowered. Well, Sarah, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. I think your topic is so important and it just fits in really well with my audience. So I'm excited for us to dig in. But before we start, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, where you're located, what you do.
Yeah. I am a woman of many hats. I wear a lot of hats. So I guess my primary job is I'm a mom. My son will be one in 2 days and I can't even believe that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he's wonderful. I love him. So he takes up a lot of my time. And then I'm a wife as well. My husband owns a construction company, and so I'm also his office manager and work part-time as doing all the secretarial things for a construction company. And then I'm also a birth and bereavement doula. So I have the wonderful, amazing privilege of getting to attend births in any trimester with any outcome. And I tend to do a little bit more with the loss side of birth, but I get to see live births all the time too, and it's a lot of fun. And I guess on social media, I'm known as the pregnancy after loss doula. So a lot of what I do focuses on the pregnancy after a loss and all of the extra that goes into pregnancy after losing a baby. So yeah, my husband and my son and I, we live in the mountains of North Carolina, like halfway between Asheville, North Carolina, and Greenville, South Carolina. So our county is known as the land of the waterfalls, and there's a lot of hiking around us and a lot of beautiful things to see. So yeah, I guess that's a little bit of me.
That's really cool. I didn't know that you also were a bereavement doula.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you know this about me, but my husband runs a funeral home in a cemetery. And so,
oh, no, I didn't.
we in our family, we kind of like hit both ends
of it
too, you know, and it's always just so funny that we
are so both. My bereavement doula-ing focuses mostly on pregnancy and infant loss. I don't do very much past infancy, but I do think it's kind of, I think it's really neat. The death end of life. And like, it takes a special person to be a birth doula, and it takes a special person to work with people going through death. And I think we do have a lot of similarities.
Yes. Yeah. That I agree. And that's what I wanted to ask you about your bereavement doula. Cause that's what I assumed is you focused more on like the infant loss.
Yeah.
That
I
makes
do.
Sense with what you do, because there are bereavement doulas for all stages of bereavement as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is neat.
Yeah. So. Oh, absolutely. I agree. So share a little bit about your birth. I know your son, who's almost one, you had a home birth with him.
I did.
So share a little bit about your birth story and how you got into this work.
Yeah. So I guess my interest in birth started before I was born, kind of. So people who are listening to the podcast might remember back when Lizzie was doing like all the deep dives into birth and pregnancy related stuff. She did a deep dive into interval births, and that was because I asked her to. So I'm a twin, and my twin sister, her birthday is in January. So she just turned 28 last month. I'm still 27 and won't be 28 until March. So I grew up hearing our weird, crazy, insane birth story. And always just thought birth was so cool. But then I have three younger siblings, and the sister right after me was a VBAC. And so I grew up hearing my siblings' birth stories too, and hearing what normal, more physiologic birth looked like. And then when I was nine, my parents' best friends had their baby in our house. And so I got to see like that side of birth too, and like what extremely normal birth looked like. He was born at like almost 42 or 43 weeks with a midwife in our house, and it was really cool. And so I grew up just knowing like I loved birth. I wanted to be in the birth world, and actually started college in pre-med wanting to be an OBGYN, and that did not happen, and I'm really grateful it didn't.
You may have been the best OBGYN ever. The OBGYN.
I might have been. You never know. Yeah. Pre-med lasted all of three semesters for me, and I hated it, so I quit. And I switched to health services, just kind of a more general major, and I met my husband and fell deeply in love, and we got married. And in 2020, I started midwife school. With the goal of being midwife at that point. And I had never heard of a doula. I didn't know what a doula was. But for my midwife training, I had to take a doula training, and also COVID hit.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't continue midwife school because, I mean, I couldn't be hands-on. And that's a lot of what a midwife is. But I was taking this doula training, and I was like, this is what I wanted to do. Like all along, ever since I was really little, I've always wanted to just help women and be in a space that could empower women and just help. My mom says as a toddler, when people would ask me what my favorite thing to do was, then I would say helping. And so I'm still helping. So yeah. So fast forward, the end of 2020, we found out that we were pregnant with our first baby. And we were so excited. And then, like I'm sure many of our listeners, we went in for my first ultrasound, and the baby was measuring 5 weeks behind, and there was no heartbeat, and it just rocked my world. Like, it just turned everything that I knew about birth and about life upside down on its head, and was like, this doesn't make any sense. This is not what I've learned about birth. And death shouldn't be part of life. And it was just crazy to me that something that was supposed to be good and that was supposed to bring life ended in death. So that threw us on a whole journey of grieving and of learning what grief is. And along that journey, I learned about such a thing as a bereavement doula. And I was like, oh, that's what I want to be. I want to be the person to help moms through pregnancy and infant loss. Because I have been there and I've experienced it and I know how hard it is. And I want moms to know that they're not alone going through that. So I certified as a bereavement doula at that point. But then we were trying to conceive again, and I was like, I know that this next pregnancy is going to be hard. And so I was scouring the internet looking for any help and any hope in the pregnancy after loss space, and I couldn't find anything.
None. Right.
And so once again, I was like, oh, it's going to be me. I'm going to be the one to do that. And so I just kind of like on a whim started an Instagram account in November of 2021 and was like, I'm going to talk about pregnancy after loss because nobody else is. So I'm going to do it. And totally like expecting to maybe reach like 10 people, like didn't expect it to become a thing really at all. And I have really low expectations for myself, apparently. So a little over 2 years later, and I've reached thousands of people and been privileged to walk alongside with so many moms through loss and pregnancy after loss, through the birth of their rainbow babies, through the loss of their rainbow babies, just mm-hmm. everything in between. And we got pregnant with our rainbow baby in 2022 after 2 years of trying and praying and waiting and doing our best to trust God on his timing and struggling. And he was born in February of 2023. And it was a weird full circle moment where that baby who was born in our house 20 years ago, almost, his aunt was my midwife. And I had my son in another aunt's house. And so it was just this weird, like, super weird full circle moment of like this, our two families are really, really intertwined now. So yeah, my rainbow baby, his name is Josiah. He'll be one in 2 days, and he's currently fighting with his dad trying to take a nap. And that's where we are.
Wow.
So that's the short story of my journey.
That is quite an amazing story, from just the fact that you were able to experience a home birth at, you said, 8 years old.
Eight or nine, something like that, yeah.
Impactful that must have been for you. And already as, you know, such a young woman, have this big belief and big trust in birth and your body. And then for that to all kind of come crashing down with your loss, right?
Yeah.
Wow. And I can't help but think how this, your whole experience is helping you to help so many women who are going through exactly that. So when we say like, why did that have to happen to me? And it's like, well, this was always part of your journey and your story to help women. I would love to hear more about some of the unique supports that you offer for women who are experiencing a pregnancy after a loss and some of their unique needs as a woman who has had a loss and is now pregnant again.
Yeah, I think probably just the biggest need for moms going through pregnancy after loss is that to know that they're not alone in all of the different emotions that they're experiencing. That's one thing, one funny thing that anxiety tells us is that we're alone and we're the only ones experiencing whatever we're anxious about. And so one of the biggest issues, I guess, that pal moms face is anxiety. Like, they're terrified of this happening again. They're terrified of something being wrong. And so the more they experience this anxiety, the more they convince themselves that they're alone and that nobody else experiences this. So I come in and I say, hey, you're not alone. I've been there too. And there's thousands of other women who have been there too. And so I get to kind of just hold their hand and walk them through it. So officially, I offer one-on-one, just unlimited texting support, where you have a question, text me. You are up in the middle of the night, terrified, text me. You had this weird twinge in your uterus and you don't know what it means, text me. And like, I've been up at 2 a.m. feeding my baby and texting a mom struggling through anxiety. And I love it. I love that I can do that. I also offer just like a general virtual doula services that is that texting support, but then also like video calls and helping write a birth plan that is unique to their needs as a mom who's pregnant after loss. And then when they actually are in labor, then they have 24/7 access to me. They can text or call or FaceTime or whatever they need to do to get the support that they need during labor. And if you're local to me, then I will come to you in labor. which I've had a few clients local to me, but honestly, probably 99% of my clients are virtual these days. Same. So, which works better with having a toddler at home. I guess I can call him a toddler now.
So. No, he's still the baby. Don't call him a toddler
yet. He is so close to walking and I am not ready for that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Especially in my experience, two girls and one boy. The boy, like, once he could walk, he could run. Like, I felt compelled to put a helmet on him when he was just starting to walk because he was going so fast. And I never felt like I had to do that with my girls, you know?
Yeah.
So just a little.
He currently has a black eye because he just face planted. And, like, I mean, there was nothing that tripped him or knocked him over. It's just he just was... He was holding on to something and then all of a sudden he was on the ground and he has a black eye now. So I promise I'm not a bad mom.
No, we know that. No, my son too. He had so many bloody lips. Like there was so much blood.
He's had a lot of bloody noses too.
To the blood.
It's crazy. Like,
it's just a little blood. It's fine.
And my natural tendency, I think partially because I have a baby in heaven, is like I want to protect him from every single thing and I'm terrified of something bad happening to him. And my husband's like, he's a boy. He's gonna get scrapes and bruises and bumps and it's okay. It's part of growing up for him. So
totally
thankful for a husband to balance me out a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And then I wonder if you sometimes take some of his advice and send it over to your moms. Because I do that sometimes.
Yes, I do. My husband is,
you know, so like logical and level-headed when I'm like way emotional up here. So sometimes,
And God. I mean, and he, so pretty often I'll be like, hey, client is struggling with XYZ and I'm not quite sure what to tell her. And he's like, well, this is what I told you when you struggled with that during pregnancy. Was it helpful? And I'm like, yes, yes, it was. And I'm going to go tell this mom that. So it's very much a team effort.
Yeah.
Although he would never, ever want me to say that. He would rather not be out there at all.
Yeah, I can only imagine that for a woman who is experiencing a loss or is pregnant after a loss, that her husband is also kind of going through this grieving period to, and how he said, we kind of really rely on our husbands to be our support person, but like, he's not at the top of his game to give support.
Right.
So to be able to like reach out to you and maybe a little few tips from your husband on the side, you know, it's got to be so valuable to these moms.
We have so many conversations, my clients and I, about, I just don't understand what's going through. I dropped an earbud. Sorry. I just don't understand what's going through his mind because he's so different from me. And I can say, well, yes, men are different from women and he's going to think differently than you. And let me ask my husband. And my husband will say, yeah, this is probably what he's thinking if he's anything like me because he's a guy. And I can say, hey, is this what your husband is thinking? And she'll talk to her husband and be like, hey, how did you know? It's just, it's crazy. Like, because men and women are different. So being able to go to my husband, who's a man, and say, hey, my client is struggling with this with her husband, who's a man. How would you handle this? And like that teamwork is so important. I couldn't do any of this without my husband.
He's like a doula too. He's like the
doula.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he very much is.
That's so sweet. So you also mentioned that one of the things you brought up that you help your clients with is writing a birth plan. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, do you see women who have experienced a previous loss tend to be more like wanting more intervention or push towards more interventions during their pregnancy and their birth?
Yes, I do. I think, I mean, I don't have any official scientific statistics or anything, but because they're impossible to find, because I've looked, but well, I would say
there's never stats on like there's very few stats on like the mom's perception and like how she is feeling during birth. So that makes sense, you know, that they wouldn't take into account her previous loss, you know?
Yeah. But I would say in my experience that moms who are pregnant after loss want elective inductions or elective cesareans more than moms who are not. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is they're anxious and they think they can control their anxiety wants to control something. Mm-hmm. So if I can control when my baby is born or the circumstances around his birth, then I can control whether or not my baby lives, is a lot of what these moms think. So there's a lot of elective interventions for moms who are pregnant after loss. And I think most of it is just that they aren't informed. And they think that an elective induction or elective cesarean is safer for them and safer for their babies because you can control something. So it must be safer, right? And
the medical system will back that up. And not as much with an elective cesarean, but with the elective induction, they're like, yeah, sure.
Oh,
it's
better
for me. Yeah. It's better for all of us, you know?
I know some moms who they were super upset because their doctor wouldn't schedule elective whatever things. Or like one of them was like, well, my baby died at 38 weeks. So I want an elective induction at 37 weeks. And my doctor says that we can't schedule one until 39. And I don't know what to do about this. And I'm terrified. And so a lot of that birth planning is almost, well, it ends up being a lot of education and saying, okay, why do you want this? And do you know the statistics? Do you know the evidence? And would you mind if I share some of the evidence on this with you? And sometimes we talk about all of the evidence, we talk about all of the details, and they still are like, okay, I see what you're saying, but I still would like this intervention. And in that case, then I say, okay, well, then let's do what we can to make it the safest and the calmest and the sweetest and the gentlest birth for you. And so like, I don't push unmedicated at all costs, but that is my bias and that is my preference. But I also know that my job as the doula is not to convince my clients to do it my way. So So I try to find a balance. I try to give education and help, but then to support them in their decisions because they're an autonomous woman and they can choose for themselves and their babies. And I'm thankful that we live in a place in a world where we can do that. So.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's the perfect example of like trauma informed support and understanding where they're coming from that, like, you know, you and I could never possibly understand losing a baby at 38 weeks, you know, like, so I think you're doing a wonderful job supporting these moms.
It is a lot of like, okay, you have this trauma. Let's understand where it's coming from. Let's do what we can to address your trauma, to help you work through it before you even get to the point of birthing another baby, because that trauma is going to come up again as you're going through birth, no matter what that birth looks like. Even for someone who had like a 5-week-old miscarriage, there is trauma when you have a full term birth that comes back up from miscarriage. It just happens. It's just how our bodies work and how our brains work. So
even not after a loss, but just maybe a woman who has experienced, no trauma, but like a traumatic first birth or something, just something as simple as an awful cervical check at 7 centimeters. Now that mom's in her brain and in her body, when she gets to 7 centimeters, all of a sudden there's fear. And it's like, well, let's look at your past birth and see what happened. It could be honestly as simple as that.
Yeah. And then I've also found that my a lot of women who are pregnant after loss again and who are not completely informed on all of their options, that their doctors use their fear and trauma to impose their own agendas. So, like, I just had a client who recently who was like, I don't really know what I want in birth, but my doctor says that because I had a loss at 36 weeks, that we need to induce at 37. And I was like, why? Where's the correlation there? That doesn't make any sense to me. And right. She's like, well, he just said that it would be safer. Okay, well, let's look at the evidence. Let's talk about this. Let's understand. Is this something you actually want to consent to? Do we need to look for another doctor? Like, you know, all of the above. So, and so she ended up.
You're having with your moms who are leaning more towards intervention. Really, it's like just about getting them informed and making sure they know their options.
Yeah. And then the ones who do want unmedicated, they often are fighting an uphill battle the whole time because their doctors are like, well, you've been through loss, so of course you want intervention. And that's not the case for a lot of us.
Right. Right. Yeah, I can imagine.
Apparently, my ears are too small for earbuds because they keep falling out.
That's okay. Edit those.
So
drop.
If you're watching the video version of this, I keep leaning over to pick up my earbuds. But it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So really the bottom line is, I mean, this is what I'm getting from this is that your moms need to be informed, right?
They do.
Mm-hmm. And then with a special mixture of being informed and then also just being responsive to understanding their experience, their previous experience, their previous loss that they've had.
Yeah. I think a lot of moms don't realize how much trauma they're bringing into birth, especially if their losses were earlier.
Right.
They just don't even know. They're like, well, once I get past the point that I lost my baby, then everything will be fine and everything will be hunky-dory and there won't be any issues. And I can just do whatever the hospital says and I don't have to worry about any trauma. And that's just not how it works, unfortunately. So,
yeah.
And even like I've found in the hospital, moms who are experiencing contractions and it brings up memories from miscarriage, from loss. And so then even if they were dead set on not having an epidural, for example, then they're like, I want an epidural now because this is terrifying and this is bringing up trauma and anxiety. And so I do a lot of beforehand talking about, hey, contractions might be traumatizing for you. How are we going to work through those? And then in the moment saying, hey, remember we talked about this. Are you sure that this is what you want? We talked about how it would be traumatizing. So let's, or bring up trauma and be an anxiety inducing for you. So let's first work on some of our anxiety handling techniques and our natural comfort measures first and make sure that this is actually something that you want. And sometimes they do end up going for the epidural and it's a wonderful tool for them. And sometimes they're like, once we've taken a few minutes to work through things, then they double down and they're willing to continue going with unmedicated. So it's just, it's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So planning for that and having some tools in your toolkit so that when fear or that anxiety, which fear and anxiety causes labor to be more painful. So it's not just like, oh, I'm scared thing. Like it literally gets more painful when you have fear. So having some tools in your toolkit to combat that. So I love all these tips. You just laid out several tips. Do you have your tips kind of like ready to go? Can you like summarize your, or give your main tips for moms? You just said so many great things. Let me summarize what I heard. I heard you get the right support from someone who's been there, who's been through it, because believe me, your midwife or your OB, they're not going to give you the individualized support that you need after with a pregnancy after a loss. So getting the right support, getting really informed on all of your options, because you may be pushed towards more interventions or you may feel like you need more interventions with the trauma that you've experienced, and then being prepared for that trauma to resurface in labor, and having a tool, you know, having a way to manage that when it when it comes up. Do you have any other tips for after loss?
We did a lot of, my husband and I, a lot of what are potentially going to be our triggers, and then talking about them with each other. We talked about them with our midwife. I knew that blood was going to be a trigger for both of us because my miscarriage, like I passed out from blood loss in my miscarriage and ended up in the emergency room. And so we knew that blood was going to be a trigger. So we talked about that together. We took it to our midwife and we said, hey, in the case of too much bleeding, what do you do? And what does that procedure look like for you? And we talked through a plan. She knew that that was a trigger for us. And so when in labor with my son, I did bleed, my placenta struggled to come out. And so there was more bleeding than normal. And she knew that we were going to be anxious about that. She talked us through it during birth. So like starting all the way at the beginning of your pregnancy, knowing these things are probably going to be triggers for me. Talk about them with your support people. My support people were my mom and my husband. And we talked through a lot of my triggers. So they knew once I actually got to birth, this is going to be a trigger for Sarah if this happens. And so we're going to need to be on top of it. Watch for these things to happen. We can talk her through it and encourage her that she is safe and her baby is safe and everything is fine. That was one of my biggest affirmations in birth was, I am safe. My baby is safe. I am safe. My baby is safe. And said it so many times. And my husband was next to my ear going, you're amazing. You can do this. Awesome. Yeah, he was great. He really should be a doula. He's pretty fantastic.
So funny. I was just in my head I was thinking that too. That
affirmation. I dropped an earbud again and I can't hear you again.
Oh no. I saw it come out when you were impersonating your husband. It popped right out. I saw it.
Yes.
That was one of the first things that came into my head too, was like, you're safe. Like when you see all the blood, like you're safe. This is normal. This is what we're going to do. And, everything is okay. And
yes. I think for me personally, it was helpful that I had seen normal, natural, physiologic birth before. And so I could say, hey, this is going to get scary, but I know that it's normal and I know that it's safe and I know this is how God created it to be. And so I can tell my clients, hey, birth does get a little bit scary, especially when you're going through transition. Like that was the scary time for me. And like, I honestly thought I was going to die. But having my husband there going, hey, remember, this is normal. You told me to remind you at this point that this is normal. And I'm like ready to punch him in the face. Don't tell me that. I know I told you to tell me, but don't tell me. but I can do that with my clients and say, so when you get to that point where it's really hard, that means your baby's coming. And that means everything actually is going according to plan. Everything is good and normal. And you might not think so in the moment, but I'm going to remind you in the moment that this is normal and this is good and this is safe. So just knowing this is what safety looks like, this is what normal looks like, is a huge, powerful tool for a mom. Especially when she's been through something that wasn't normal and wasn't safe in the past.
Yes, absolutely. And I was just going to chime in and say all moms need that during that transition time, because it does, especially a mom who's never experienced birth. She just needs to know that, like, this feels insane right now, but it's supposed to feel that way and everything's okay. And just like you said, that really starts with learning. Like, you had to tell your husband, I'm gonna get to this point. You had to know that that point existed for you to be able to get through it without panicking.
And then I had my mom in the room with me, and she had epidurals for all of her births, but but for her, she tried to go naturally every time, and her labors were super long, and the epidural was the tool that she needed to relax in order to, like, cause she was always just too tense during labor, and epidurals was the tool that she needed to calm her down in order, and like every time she would have the baby within an hour.
Oh my gosh.
So she knew, like, this is going to get really, really hard for Sarah. And, like, so she was sitting there as my baby was born, sobbing her heart out. She thought she was going to pass out. And she's like, I know that this is really hard. And then she was so incredibly proud of me afterwards. And she's like, I know what that's like. And you did it. And you made it. And, like, I don't even know who was more proud of me, like, myself or my mom. After having a baby. So,
I'm sure that was an incredibly healing experience for her too, to see that safe birth after your loss and just after after, you know, she had pretty traumatic birth with you and your twin. I can just imagine that that was.
But then she went from my birth and 3 months later went to my sister's home birth too and got to see all of that, and she was a little more prepared for Bethany's.
Yes, I'm sure you prepared her.
So now I'm like, Mom, you want to be a doula? Because you would be a good one. Oh, you've been to 2 births. You can do it too.
She absolutely could.
She is way too busy to be a doula at the moment. But
yeah.
She'll be a good one.
I bet she would. And you've given her, she's got a lot of practice now. She's probably going to be your, how many sisters do you have? You have all sisters, right?
There's 4 girls and a boy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So she'll have a lot of opportunities, hopefully, to attend, be a doula a few more times. So tell me where moms can find you on the internet, how they can get support from you.
I'm at Pal Doula on Instagram, and that's probably where I'm the most active. I also have a Facebook page. I'm not super active on there. I have a podcast. It's the Pal Doula podcast. And it has the 8th episode will be published on Monday. It's a brand new podcast, but it's so much fun. I'm enjoying it. And then my website is Pregnancy After Loss Doula. So
perfect. Thank you for coming on. It was wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. It was so wonderful to hear your story. I'm not sure if I had heard that whole, how you came into birth work. I loved that. It was beautiful.
Yeah. It's a long story, and I feel like I just gave you the nutshell version, but yeah.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today on the podcast. If this episode gave you confidence in being more unapologetic, if you felt more empowered from listening to the show, it would mean so much if you took just 30 seconds to leave a rating and review. This is how we can get the show out to more moms who need it so that they can join us in the Empowered Moms Club too. I'll be back again with another episode in just a couple days. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss a thing. Until then, stay fierce, friend.